About 1:15, so I think we're going to try to get going. We might be starting as a subcommittee, but that's all right. Today, this is welcome to the Commerce Committee. Today is Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. We have the Hoffman bill before us. This, I believe, Senator Hoffman, you can correct me, but I think this is kind of a compromise with Senator Reinhart and Marty, and this is the so you're going to be carrying that bill that includes some of the stuff that the other two authors have. Is that correct? And I think we've had a pretty good full-blown hearing here the other day, and we heard from all of you. So why don't you kind of tell us what the end game here is. Would you, Senator Hoffman? Welcome.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you. Yeah, we did. Senator Reinhart, myself and Senator Marty sat here in front of this great panel of elected officials and talked about the needs of us to look at.
Are you doubtful of the votes or what? You're
no, I'm not.
These members here. But go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
It's peppering. That is what it is. So, and I just, this is consistent with what is traveling through the House, and there's some other language tweaks that they're working on. But yes, Senator Metzen, you are correct. So, when the proposals were heard in Commerce, all the bills were tabled, and Mr. Chair, you requested that we come back to the committee with one bill, and Senate File 674 is that bill, Mr. Chair. So, as we heard in the testimony, it's clear that Minnesotans in personal care industry agree that the microbeads must be eliminated from personal care products. So, Mr. Chair, I'm asking that you take Senate File 674 and move and pass and refer it to the Environment and Energy Committee.
Yeah, I want to note that a quorum is present. Senator Reinhart, I know you worked long and hard on that. Would you like to move this?
Mr. Chairman, I would move to recommend Senate File 674 and send it on to the Environment Committee.
Okay. Any questions or concerns of the audience or members? With that, Senator Reinhart renews his motion that this bill be passed and forwarded to the Environment Committee. Is that correct? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
First, Senator Eakin. Is he in the okay. I wanted to do the two bills of the folks. Oh, there he is. Good, good. That aren't on the committee because some of us have to stay and let some others go. So, Senator Eakin, how are you? And welcome to the committee. I know you heard this. I think I was in the room with you the other day in transportation, if I'm not mistaken, and heard the testimony. And again, welcome to the committee on Senate File 632, and tell us why you're here. Okay. Well, it's an insurance. Yeah, go ahead. Senator Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate the opportunity to present Senate File 632 today. This bill deals with the issue of electronic verification of insurance. As you may well know, when you're pulled over, there's a requirement that you have proof of insurance. And many citizens are moving to an increasingly digital lifestyle. And smartphones are ubiquitous, particularly among driving age population. States have or are considering allowing drivers to demonstrate their proof of insurance electronically. 37 states allow drivers to show electronic proof of insurance coverage during a traffic stop as of December of 2014. And most major insurance providers do give customers the ability to produce digital proof of insurance through the company's smartphone applications. Most websites that track states that do allow electronic verification of auto insurance list Minnesota as a state that already permits this activity. However, statutory language is not explicit, and nonpartisan research has counseled that the matter exists in a gray area. So this bill is simply to clarify that one can use electronic proof of insurance. With that, I guess I would stand for any questions, but it arose from an individual who had been pulled over, did have electronic proof of insurance, but didn't have the hard copy, and they were cited for that. And so there's some confusion as to whether or not electronic proof of insurance is allowed or not. And again, this clarifies
Senator
that it
Kazoka,
is allowed.
Did you have a
yeah, just a quick comment. I just assumed it was legal, and I'm glad you're bringing this forward then.
the one benefit is they're always going to have their most current card. You know, so it's, I think it's a real benefit. I'm glad you're bringing it forward.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Johnson, did you wish 42 seconds?
Yeah. Less. Mr. Chairman, committee members,
it's
Bob
hard
Johnson.
For you to do, I know, but
Bob Johnson,
just kidding.
Yeah. Bob Johnson, Insurance Federation of Minnesota. We did pass the law. Senator Gazelka might have been the chief author in 2012 to authorize EID cards, and we've been issuing them for the last 2 years. This is a good clarification. So let's get the law clarified, put it in all the chapters that it needs to be, because it's a consumer benefit, and we should be doing it in Minnesota. So we support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'll move it.
Senator Goodwin moves that this Senate files, what is it, 632? 632 be recommended to pass. This is the last stop, I believe, and sent to the floor. On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Jeff, Vicki. Come on, let me try anything for you. That's what I've heard.
Senate filed 1238. Is that what we're doing?
I don't know which one's doing first.
Yeah. 1645. Senator Metzen, yeah. Senate file 1645. That what you'd like
you.
To do first?
Is that I've got in front of me. That liquor bill.
Oh.
The omnibus liquor bill.
Okay, Senate file 1238. Members? Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, members. These are the kind of a series of a number of bills we heard a couple of days ago, I believe. I think we've got a pretty good bill here. It includes about 10 provisions. Article 1 is a section 1, Article 1, I guess there's only one article, deals with the revises recodification and statute relating brew pubs, small brewers, and micro distillers. This is a technical bill recodifying liquor laws that stakeholders included the Department of Public Safety, Craft Brewers Guild, League of Cities, beer wholesalers, and all affected people. Visited at length about this cleanup language in section 1 to 9, and I don't believe there's any disagreement at all there. Senate file 872 is an Ingebrigtsen and Ortman micro distillery bill to sell off sale 375 millimeter bottles per customer per day of its product. This is where they could go ahead and sample a, buy a little bottle. There was some talk about a bigger one, but I think we ended up with a compromise. At least we're going to do one. And I kind of view this as if you like the product, maybe later on you go out and buy one at the retailer. So I think it's a pretty good idea. And that, again, is Ingebrigtsen, excuse me, Pappas also, and Ortman bill. Section 2 and 3 is a Desick bill, and a Reinhardt bill allows growlers to be sold at an off-sale on Sundays at small brewers and brew pubs. People like to go in and different areas, particularly I think in D6 area and Senator Pappas and in Duluth area, and there's a bunch of other ones, but they're visiting that town and maybe just for that Sunday and they want to take one home. So we're not opening the floodgates here or anything, but we're going to allow that in this bill. Hayden has a bill that Minneapolis is asking for it. It asks for an on-sale liquor, intoxicating liquor license for the Norway House. We've done this before. Not controversial. Senate filed 637, and this bill is Senator Pappas. Allows for a micro distillery to be issued a temporary license for intoxicating liquor in connection with a social event sponsored by the micro distillery. I believe is a good idea. Section 6 is a Metzen bill set up about 1238 to allow Sunday sales at 8 in the morning. This is sometimes called a Bloody Mary bill, the 8 o'clock.
I hadn't heard
didn't
that.
Bring any samples, but this 8 o'clock is the hour. You could every other day of the week. So we didn't have any opposition to this. Senate File 1212, File 360, Brown, Metzen, and Reinhardt deals with intoxicating liquor license for golf courses. One for Becker, one for Lester Park Golf Course, Duluth, a liquor license for Inver Grove, Inverwood Golf Course, Inver Grove, Minnesota. I don't think I have to talk too much on that, but the golf course, in my opinion, been overbuilt. And some of these golf courses are really struggling, so they think that this might give them a little advantage to have a group come in, and if they want a cocktail or a bottle of beer, it might help their income flow and keep the golf course under open. Senate File 1065 is a Pappas bill authorizing brew pubs to sell malt liquor to licensed wholesalers for distribution exclusively to a single retail license for sale at a single location at the state fair. There was some talk about multiple locations, but we narrowed it down to the one, and this again is, I believe, a compromise. So that's the bill. Not everything that everybody wanted is in it, but I believe it's a balanced bill. Moves us forward, and I think in this industry, I've always been of the opinion that we kind of go slow anyway, so I think this is fair, and it is a good bill.
Senator Pappas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Metzen. I think it's a good bill, too. I do have the A11 amendment on the state fair issue, which has been negotiated with the wholesalers. Because so many of these small brew pubs are only going to be using a barrel or two at the state fair at the most, it's not really worth the wholesaler's time to pick them up and deliver them. So this would allow them to be ordered by the brew pub. And I don't believe there's any objection to this.
Senator Metzen, do you need the amendment?
Yeah, we've discussed this, and I believe it's all right with all the players. Mr. Canuck,
do me a favor.
This microphone.
One of my favorite lobbyists over there.
Thank you very much. Back in the cook. Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, just a 32. We're limiting discussion to about 32 seconds.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Joe Bagnoli on behalf of the State Fair. Working with the lobbyist for the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild, there's just a small little oral change as well that would be the Senate Council has, I believe, up there that we would also like to include.
First and then take that.
Does anyone else have any questions on the A11 amendment? We'll do that first and then go to your oral amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A11, Senator Pratt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question I have, though, is where Senator Metzen's bill specifically says a single retail licensee, the amendment strikes that part and just says to the retail licensee or a licensed wholesale. It doesn't seem as tight to really limiting it to one provision, and I don't know if council would want to weigh in on that, if it keeps the spirit of the original Metzen compromise.
Okay, council.
Mr. Chairman, Member Senator Pratt, I think it does. If you engross it, we're deleting everything after the first two in line 20, so it would read, brew pubs may sell malt liquor to, and then you skip down line 21, a single retail licensee, all right? And you pick up there, and then the amendment says after that line you insert another sentence which says you can either the brew pub can either make these sales directly to the retail licensee, the single retail licensee, and that relates back to or modifies what we've already described in terms of the single retail licensee, or to a wholesaler if they want to go that way. So that's, I don't think it messes up the single retail licensee element of this section.
Senator Pratt?
Thank you. No, I included line 21, and I think that was part of my problem in understanding it.
Okay. Any further comments on the A11 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries. Okay, now to your oral amendment. Senate Council will read it to
Madam
us.
Madam Chair, members, it would be on line 21, page 21, line 21. After the word location, insert operated by the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild. So we've actually identified the one location at the fair where this is going to be done, and it's that craft brewing location.
I'll move that motion.
Senator Gazelka moves the oral amendment. Does everyone understand the amendment? Any comments or comments? Senator Fischbach.
Madam Chair, I'm just curious. So there is an existing booth at the state fair that does.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, all those in favor of the oral, Senator Gazelka's motion? Thank you. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Motion carries. Senator Metzen.
I think we've gone through the bill. Do we have another amendment?
Senator Dahl.
Madam Chair and Senator Metzen, I do have the A6 amendment. The A6 amendment, right at the end of the committee last Monday, we talked a little bit about the fact that instructional permits cannot be used for as an ID for purchasing alcoholic beverages, even though we can have someone of legal age to, you know, be having a permit, because a permit is required at least 3 months before you can take a road test to get your actual license. I also you cannot have an identification card and a permit at the same time. So we council has learned that judiciary does not need to see this particular one amendment. So hopefully, with the committee's permission, I'd like to add move this amendment to the omnibus liquor.
Senator Metzen?
I talked to the senator about that, and my concern, quite frankly, was it going to move to somewhere else? And I've seen some of my bills, and I've seen some other people's bills go out the door, and they come back looking quite differently. So I appreciate that. And I do support the amendment.
Do you want to have any questions on the A6 amendment or discussion?
Yes. Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries. Any other further amendments or discussion? Senator Metzen?
I move the bill. Senate file 1238.
He doesn't.
As amended.
It's not different. Right. A moment? No, he's got an amendment.
Yes.
There is a.
Oh, did we have that other
local license?
Yeah, there was one more. This is the talk to Mr. Carlson and McNoly, and it deals with the municipalities. I guess it's the mega cities and everybody is.
Is it the A10 amendment, Senator Metzen?
You want to talk about it? They might want to hear just a little bit why. Sorry. I've talked about it with the.
Does everyone have the amendment? It's the A10.
You guys are looking up stuff.
Okay, go ahead and state your name and provide us some information.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ann Linster. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities. Senator Metzen was interested in, we wanted language to mirror what is currently done basically for tap rooms and selling growlers, and this would then put this in line. And it's my understanding that some of the other micro distillery bills did have similar language that would allow for the licensing from municipalities to the micro distilleries to sell the bottles, but it just didn't get into your omnibus bill, is what I was told.
That's
so.
What I was told.
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, I mean, just so folks are clear, I think what this does, the local licensing authorities already licensed the micro distillery itself, but this makes it clear that they have the ability to license the sale of the 375s.
Madam Chair, members, that's my understanding as well.
Thank you. I'm supportive.
Clarifying.
Madam Chair, I should check.
Mr. Stang?
Does not the Commissioner of Public Safety license the micro distillery itself? I'd have to double check that. But I'm not sure it matters for purposes of this amendment. You don't have to have the same authority doing both. You could have the local city licensing the off-sale activity and the Commissioner of Public Safety licensing the manufacturing aspect. I don't see any problem at all with that.
Ms. Lindstrom?
I just wanted to make sure the committee's clear.
Madam Chair and members, the Commissioner of Public Safety issues the license for the micro distillery, but the city then issues the license for the on sale. So then the city would also issue the license for the off sale.
Right.
I believe it's pretty clarified.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? All those in favor of the A-10 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries. Senator Metzen, you want to renew your motion to move Senate file?
Senate file 1238.
As amended.
As amended, be recommended to pass.
Recommended to pass and sent to the floor. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries.
Thank you very, very much, members.
Now on to your next Senate file.
Yeah, this, thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a bill that come to my attention by the Department of Commerce. It deals with unclaimed property. There's about, I understand, about $650 million worth of unclaimed property out there. And this bill kind of gets the word out a little bit better than it's been getting out to get these people to claim their money. Supported by the Department of Commerce. The original purpose of the law was to safeguard lost property left in the bank accounts, insurance policies, safety deposit boxes, tax refunds, and make reasonable attempts to collect what people are, money's out there that is really theirs. And what it does, it requires the department to post their website on the entire list. It requires the department to provide each member of the legislature a yearly list of unclaimed property owners in their district. That is so you can, it's a little more personalized, it's back home. If you want to, as a legislator, you can tell your constituents that have somebody coming that it's out there. Restores the requirement that newspapers publish names. Asks the department to submit report on the process of owners comply with the file of the claim. And besides, this is the part Commerce Department's got to be happy with me, but I'm going to move to take the two more people out to do this. I had to be consistent. I've always said that if you have 342 employees, maybe you could figure out a way to get stuff done without always adding two people.
Okay.
And that's not to say this isn't very important, but I don't know. If I left it in, I'd be a little hypocritical here, my friends. And you've heard me over the years say,
never happens.
Try to get something done. But
thank you. So you're bringing forward the A1 amendment?
Yes. Okay. I won't bring the department forward at this time because they'll. I think it's in the other body's bill, but I don't care what they. But there could be a slight chance that I could be convinced, but at this time I'm not convinced that we need more people.
Senator Gazelka?
First of all, I approve your amendment, but I think most of this would be through technology. Once they've got it in place, they just push a button or two and they've got the list. So
yeah, that's
what. So anyway.
Thank you for that.
Further questions on the A1 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Senator Metzen.
Yeah, I just think it's a good bill. And like I said, there's still $650 million out there. And if we can. Oh, and I got a sidebar.
Oh, goody. A
the
bar?
List came up with Senator Housley's husband's name on it. So we're going to go contact Phil. Tell him that he's got some unclaimed money out there. I don't know.
Well,
what did that be?
Senator Reiner.
I'm just wondering, Mr. Chair, if you check for us all.
We'll run a check at all of you.
My
dad was on there years ago, and I think we got something out of $38 out of Sears or something. Anyway, this is the right thing to do. And we want to make the folks out there that have something coming, make it easier for them to get it.
Does the department want to come up and say?
Well, not if they're going to object to it. No.
Okay, never mind.
They are in full agreement. I'm sure they want more people. Probably not going to happen today.
Okay. Any further discussion on Senate File 1645? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
And now, Senate File 1651, Senator Clausen.
And just so members are aware, this is for discussion only, so we're going to have a discussion on your bill. Go ahead, Senator Claussen. He's only got one, so this should be
done. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for the opportunity for an informational hearing on Senate File 1651, regulating automatic renewal clauses in consumer contracts, which are often referred to as evergreen contracts. Evergreen is an appropriate description for these automatic renewing contract clauses. The automatic renewals are often overlooked and lock the consumer into paying annual fees for substantial periods of time. Evergreen payments are often tiered to checking account automatic payment plans, further confusing the consumer. While these contracts can be convenient, they place the burden of termination on the consumer, often without vendor notification of a renewal notice or consumer termination time period requirements. If the vendor does provide evergreen notification, it is often inconspicuously included in a monthly bill and often in small print. Many evergreen contracts are in the maintenance and service areas, cell phones, computer network service, garbage collection, cable or satellite service, maintenance, repair agreements. I'm sure you can name additional evergreen contracts that you are aware of as well. Several states have addressed evergreen contracts, and you have a handout that reviews that. And they've addressed that with regulations requiring businesses to provide clear and conspicuous disclosures, requiring affirmative consumer consent to renew contracts with cancellation disclosure instructions. And Senate File 1651 moves requirements for automatic evergreen renewal from the consumer to the business provider with consumer protection language. And with us today is Ben Velzin from the Minnesota Attorney General's Office, who will provide insights to evergreen contracts here in Minnesota.
Okay, Mr. Velzin, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members, thank you for allowing me to be here today to speak about evergreen contracts, and I also want to thank Senator Claussen for inviting me here today. Senator Claussen summed up the substance of what evergreen contracts are well, so I'll just briefly touch on a couple of points he said. Again, they are contracts that you find in many instances with between businesses and consumers, including, among others, the waste hauling industry. They're common monitoring-type services, fire security alarm contracts of that nature, and also some membership-based services like gym or club memberships. As Senator Claussen indicated, evergreen contracts renew automatically at the end of the initial contract term without any type of action from the consumer. We have had consumers contact the Attorney General's office with concerns about evergreen contracts. One of the concerns they've expressed is they don't know about the evergreen term when they sign the contract. It is oftentimes buried in the fine print of a long number of contractual terms, so they don't have adequate disclosure up front and know what they're getting into. Another issue consumers have contacted the Attorney General's office about is typically with evergreen contracts, there is a window, if you will, within which the consumer must cancel the contract. Oftentimes, this window is about 90 to 180 days before the contract would end. And given that the window is pushed out several months before the contract ends, oftentimes consumers are not yet thinking about whether or not they want to continue the service or whether they want to cancel the service and change to a different provider. And so what happens is they find themselves locked into another renewal term, which sometimes can be any number of years before they really have thought about whether they want to continue this service. And so, as Senator Claussen indicated, a number of other states have passed legislation addressing evergreen contracts, requiring, a number of different things. The 11 states I was able to find in my preliminary review were California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, New York, North Carolina, Oregon, and across the river in Wisconsin. I think Senate File 1651 helps address some of the issues consumers have contacted the Attorney General's office about in a number of ways. A couple of quick points on what the bill does. One, it only applies to contracts that are a year or more in length, the initial term, and then that renew for more than 1 month. So with cell phone contracts, which Senator Claussen alluded to, you have your initial contract term, but then you go to month-to-month and cancel at any time. So it wouldn't apply to those contracts that go to month after the initial term has concluded. Secondly, Senate File 1651 will require clear and conspicuous disclosure up front to try to help the consumer realize that they are entering into a contract with an automatic renewal language in it down the road sometimes. And then
on that point, Senator Goodwin?
On that point, normally when we do something like this, we require some size of type to do that, because what's clear and conspicuous mean otherwise? You know, I know this is just for discussion at this point, but I think that we'll want to think about how we can really make that clear, because I know exactly what you're talking about here, and I really like this bill because there's so many problems, and I've heard about them even from my constituents. But I do think that we need to be clear on that, and I also, for discussion, think you need to discuss some other kind of notice as well, just before renewal. And maybe that's in here. I don't know, but I didn't see.
Senator Claussen.
And Senator Goodwin, I do have an amendment at one, the cancellation must be by regular mail, so you're notified. And then also the written notice must be in a standalone mailing, so it comes by itself. And we also talk about the size of the type
that
needs to be in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Velzin, you can continue with your
Madam testimony. Chair, members. Yes, as was just briefly discussed on, I think one of the more important points of Senate File 1651 is it does require notice within that applicable window period advising consumers that you need to cancel by X date in order to effectively cancel your contract before it renews. So I think that's important because some of the initial terms of the contracts can be multiple years. So consumer signs a contract and, you know, 30 months later, they have to remember that, oh, now is my 90-day window to cancel without penalty. In the notice required to them during that period is important. So that is addressed by the Senate file also. Finally, a couple quick last points is if the provider fails to comply with the law, consumer can cancel at any time without penalty. And then lastly, it also eliminates these clauses that are known as right of first refusal clauses, which essentially say if you get a better offer from a competitor, you have to allow us, your current provider, to match that offer. And that is oftentimes an impediment in addition to the evergreen clauses to consumers choosing the best provider with, you know, quality goods at a fair price. So that is a summary of the bill. And
Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, Mr. Belzin or Senator Claussen, I like this bill a lot. I would fully support it. I, too, have had, I haven't had any constituents specifically contact me, but I'm familiar with others who have had these problems. I'm also familiar with a client that came to me who owns a small business who had exactly this problem. And it led to a lot of litigation that's cost more than the cost of the renewal of the contract did. And so, I mean, frankly, there are a lot of small businesses that don't pay close enough attention to the small print in service contracts in particular. This one was for an ATM service contract. So I'd be interested in expanding the bill to include at least some minimum requirements for business contracts as well, because not every business owner or contractor is a sophisticated contractor, one who should be held to every line of small print in these contracts, especially when they're not individually negotiated term by term, but instead it is one of those things where there's a page or two of small print and they just don't pay that close attention to it. Certainly something like what you have here is not difficult to require, and it would afford those business owners the opportunity as well to cancel. The other thing I was wondering about, and I'm just throwing this out as an idea to think about, is whether or not there ought to be some kind of a retroactive cancellation opportunity. So if for some reason you miss the date, you just don't catch it in the mail, you just think it's junk mail and it goes in the garbage can, and all of a sudden you find yourself automatically renewed for 3 years or whatever it is, can you maybe after the first billing period or the second billing period, you have an opportunity to cancel it retroactively or to get out at least of the remaining portion of the one last chance to cancel, if you will, even after the renewal has occurred. Something to think about anyway, and I'm not sure about how the details would work around that. But.
Senator Claussen, did you want to respond?
Yes, Senator Latz, thank you very much for those recommendations. We'll work on those. Thank you.
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I would just build on Senator Latz's comments. I mean, I I typically am a buyer beware person. I think generally in life, relationships have mutual accountability, and contractual ones do as well. But you know, this applies to virtually any, almost every thing we do online. You know, consumers unknowingly end up in these automatically renewing situations. They get an email in some tiny print that may or may not go to their inbox, and all of a sudden they're signed up for another year, you know, or some additional period of time. So, you know, I appreciate you bringing this forward. I'm glad we're having an informational hearing on it. I look forward to continuing to talk about it and think about it, and I would concur, you know, for folks that missed the letter or missed the email, and all of a sudden now they're signed up for another year of something that they don't really want to have. There ought to be some window for folks to try and leave that contract. So I'm sure this is something we'll work on and send to judiciary to fix up for us.
Senator Latz.
That's what we do in transportation.
Senator Latz.
Well, my only additional comment was that this ATM contract I was aware of is a 5-year automatic renewal provision.
Wow.
And you know, my client thought he was on a month-to-month after the initial term expired. And he tried to cancel, and he was told he still owed 3.5 years worth of damages on it, and hence the litigation. And I don't know if the consumer contracts, some of them get that long, but it's pretty significant for some businesses.
Senator Metzen?
Consumers should have paid the bill instead of paying you all that. You said the attorney fees were higher than that. Well, I thought I heard that, but
yeah,
that's
no, that's what I said.
Yeah,
Senator Pappas.
Well, there's a principle that gets involved sometimes too.
I know that.
People are willing to pay for the principle.
I know that.
Senator Pappas.
Raise your gavel.
Hold the chair down,
Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'm just wondering if this would apply to something that just happened to me. We all have our experiences, right? Well, I signed up with AT&T for just 2 months of a global package while I was traveling, and it was my understanding it was 2 months, and it would automatically expire. And then 2 months later, we're checking our phone bill and realize, oh, it's continued for another 2 months. And so I call up AT&T, and, you know, of course, usually you have to threaten to go to another provider before they actually take notice. And they said, no, you were supposed to cancel. I said, no, that was not the agreement. The agreement was I signed up for only 2 months. So, you know, you kind of go back and forth on these things, and this is a verbal thing that's happening, too. It's not like a signed agreement. So I think it's really good to look into this.
Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Pappas, I had that same problem traveling to Europe. I wanted to get the overseas package so it would cost me less money. Mm-hmm. Only wanted it for the period of time I was going to be overseas, and all of a sudden it kept renewing
kept
itself.
Going. Right. Yeah. Happened to you too?
Well, Senator Claussen, it sounds like there's a lot of interest from members of this committee that want to continue to have, you know, see some more work actually and expanded. So thanks for bringing this forward. Senator Goodwin.
I just want to have one last comment on that, too. Another problem is, and I don't know if it could be fixed with this, but with cell phone, with cable companies, when you sign up with a verbal contract online, they tell you it's going to be one price, and then consistently it goes up or even up within a couple of months, but you've got a 2-year contract with them to provide services, but you have no option to say, hey, wait a minute, you promised me $139 a month, and now it's $179 a month. What happened here? So there's no requirement, I guess, in law that they have to abide by what they tell you the amount is going to be, or somehow warn you that the amount is going up so you have the opportunity to change to another cable company if you want to or whatever. But a lot of consumers get caught up in that as well. I'm sure you've heard from people in the Attorney General's office as well.
Well, okay. Madam Chair, I'm hearing there is support, and we'll be working on this for our next session. In the meantime, call Ben
okay.
at the Attorney General's office. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Claussen, and we look forward to seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All members, we're done. Looks like we're adjourned.
Good job.
That's
we
one way to
for the
say
year.
It.
Excellent session.
Thank you.
Yeah.